Chapter 53. Venice, Italy. The water taxi pulled to a stop, and Sam and Remy climbed out. Together they stared at the surrounding buildings. "No matter how many times I see it, it always takes my breath away," Remy said. Known to English tourists as St. Mark's Plaza, the Piazza San Marco is in fact a trapezoid sitting at the eastern mouth of the Grand Canal. Famous for its pigeons and geometric hopscotch stone inlays, it is perhaps the most famous plaza in all of Europe, home to some of Venice's greatest attractions, many dating back 1,000 years or more. Sam and Remy turned in a circle, taking it in as if seeing it for the first time. St. Mark's Basilica, with its Byzantine domes and spires. The Campanile, its 300-foot bell tower. The imposing Gothic Palazzo Ducale, or Doge's Palace. And finally, directly opposite the Basilica, the Ala Napoleonica, the one-time home of Napoleon's administrative residence. Whether a coincidence or not, they would soon know, but they were keenly aware of Napoleon's connection to Venice and the Piazza San Marco, which he'd dubbed the Drawing Room of Europe. In 1805, soon after Venice was named part of the newly created Kingdom of Italy, Napoleon ordered the Ala Napoleonica built after realizing his initial choices, the Zecca, or Mint, the Libreria Marciana, and the Procuratie Nuove, were not large enough to accommodate his court. It was nearly 6 o'clock and the sun was dipping toward the horizon over the roof of the Marciana Library. Some of the piazza lights had come on, casting amber pools on the arches and domes. Most of the day's tourists had left, and the piazza was quiet save for the background babble of voices and the cooing of the pigeons. "Who are we meeting?" Remy asked. "The curator," Sam replied. "Maria Favaretto." Before catching their 2 o'clock Lufthansa flight from Salzburg, Sam had called the curator of their destination, the Museo Archeologico, and introduced himself. Luckily, Signora Favaretto had heard of them. Their discovery of the lost diary of Lucrezia Borgia, the 15th-century Machiavellian political operator seductress, a year earlier in Biscaglie, had been front-page news in Venice, she told Sam. In fact, a former colleague of hers was the assistant curator of the Vatican Library's Museo Borgiano, where he and Remy had donated the diary. Favaretto agreed to meet them for an after-hours visit of the Museo Archeologico. "Is that her?" Remy asked, pointing. A woman was waving to them from inside one of the entrance arches to the Procuratie Nuove, in which the Museo Archeologico was partially housed. The rest was located within the Biblioteca Nazionale Marciana, the National Library of St. Mark's. Sam and Remy walked over to the woman.
"Signor Farrago, Signora Farrago, I am Maria Favaretto. It's my pleasure to meet you."
"Please call us Sam and Remy," Remy said, shaking her hand.
"And I'm Maria."
"Thank you for your help. We hope we aren't inconveniencing you."
"Not at all. Remind me again, what period are you interested in?"
"We're not positive, but none of the references we found are later than the 18th century."
"Good. I think we're in luck. If you'll follow me, please."
She led them through the arch, across a breezeway done in terracotta and cream tiles, and into the museum. They followed her past displays of Egyptian sarcophagi and Assyrian chariots, Etruscan statues and vases and Roman busts, Byzantine ivory carvings and Minoan earthenware jars. Maria stopped at a wooden door and unlocked it with a key. They went down a long, dimly lit hallway. She stopped.
"This is our not-for-public library. Given what you were asking about, I thought the best person to help you would be Giuseppe. He doesn't have a title, per se, but he's been here longer than anyone, almost 60 years. He knows more about Venice than anyone I know."
She hesitated, cleared her throat.
"Giuseppe is 82 and a little odd. Eccentric is the word, I think. Don't let that worry you. Just ask your questions and he'll find the answers."
"Okay," Sam said with a smile.
The reason I asked about your time frame is that Giuseppe is what you might call a throwback. He has no interest in anything modern. If it didn't happen in the 19th century or earlier, it doesn't exist for him.
We'll keep that in mind, replied Remy. Maria opened the door and gestured for them to step through.
Just press the buzzer on the wall here when you're done. I'll come back for you. Good luck.
She shut the door. The museum's library was long and narrow, measuring 200 feet by 40 feet. The walls were not walls at all, but floor-to-ceiling bookcases. They were 20 feet tall. On each of the four walls was a rolling wooden ladder. A single 10-foot-long work table and a lone hard-backed chair sat in the center aisle. Halogen pendants hung from the ceiling, casting soft pools of light on the green-tiled floor.
"Is someone there?" a voice called.
"Yes," Sam replied. "Signora Favoretto let us in." As their eyes adjusted, they could see a figure standing atop the ladder at the far end of the library. He was perched on the top rung, finger tracing along the book spines, occasionally nudging one inward or sliding one outward. After a moment, the man climbed down and started shuffling down the aisle toward them. 30 seconds later, he came to a stop before them.
"Yes," he said simply.
Giuseppe was barely 5 feet tall, with wispy white hair that jutted out from his head at all angles. He couldn't have weighed more than 90 pounds. He stared up at them with surprisingly sharp blue eyes.
"Hello. I'm Sam, and this is..."
Giuseppe waved his hand dismissively.
"You have a question for me?"
Yes. We've got a riddle on our hands. We're looking for the name of a man, probably from Istria in Croatia, that might have a connection to either Povelia or Santa Maria di Nazareth."
"Give me the riddle," Giuseppe ordered.
"Man of Istria, 13 by tradition," Sam recited. Giuseppe said nothing, but stared at them for 10 seconds as he pursed his lips from side to side. Remy said, "We also think he might have something to do with Lazzarese." Abruptly, Giuseppe turned around and shuffled away. He stopped in the aisle, then stared at each wall in turn. His index finger tapped the air before him in the manner of a slow-motion conductor.
"He's cataloging books in his head,"
Remy whispered.
"Quiet, please," Giuseppe barked.
After 2 minutes, Giuseppe went to the right-hand wall and pushed the ladder to the far end. He climbed up, plucked a book off the shelf, paged through it, then put it back and climbed back down. 5 more times he repeated the process, staring at the walls, conducting the air, and mounting the ladder before climbing back down and shuffling back to them.
"The man you're looking for is named Pietro Tradonico, the Doge of Venice from 836 to 864. Chronologically, he was the 11th Doge, but by tradition, he is considered the 13th. Tradonico's followers fled to the island of Povelia after he was assassinated. They had some huts near the island's northeastern corner."
With that, Giuseppe turned and started shuffling away. "One more question," Sam called. Giuseppe turned, said nothing. "Is Tradonico buried there?" asked Sam.
"Some think so, some not. His followers claimed the body after his assassination, but no one knows where it was taken."
Giuseppe turned again and darted away. Remy called, "Thank you." Giuseppe didn't reply. "Did you find what you were looking for?" Maria asked a few minutes later when they came out. After they'd pushed the buzzer beside the door, it had taken her 5 minutes to arrive. During that time, Giuseppe continued about his work as though they didn't exist. "We did," Sam replied. "Giuseppe was everything you said he'd be. We appreciate your help."
"It's my pleasure. Is there anything else I can do for you?"
"Since you're being so helpful, what's the best way to get to Povelia?" Maria stopped walking and turned to them. Her face was drawn.
Why would you want to go to Pavelia?
Research.
You're welcome to use our facilities. I'm sure Giuseppe would...
Sam said, thank you, but we'd like to see it for ourselves.
Please reconsider.
Why? Remy asked.
How much do you know about Povelia's history?
If you're talking about the plague pits, we read...
Not just those. There's much more. Let's have a drink. I'll tell you the rest.